The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hollywood hoop dreams aren't only made from magic. They also come in the form of original podcasts from the Hoop Ball Network.
So if you're the Lakers zooming out, are you tempted to bring back DeMarcus Cousins in the playoffs? And do you disrupt the dynamic at that point if he's healthy enough to play?
Join Ethan, JC, and the thriving Lakers community around the world to talk about all things Lakers.
The Lakers this season has come to expect of this team is consistent winning. That is something we have not been able to say since I've seen Andrew Bynum in a Lakers uniform.
The show is available everywhere pods are found, and you can follow the show on Twitter at HoopBallLakers.
The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hoop Ballers, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Pelican Scoop on the hoop-ball.com network. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. Follow me on Twitter at Lyle Swithenbank, LyleSwithenbank. Thanks for joining us again this week. We have a very special guest joining us today. It is Andrew Lopez from ESPN. How are you going?
It's going good, man. Glad to be on with you. It's always nice to talk to people all around the world, especially, you know, when they have to just follow the Pelicans like I do.
Like we were talking about off air, I've only just taken over this Pelicans podcast. We're getting some reps in, so it's great to have someone that's, I suppose, boots on the ground in New Orleans. I can see, give us some insight as to, I suppose, the day-to-day operations and how things are going actually in New Orleans. Whereas for me, I'm in Perth, so I see things on TV, I see things on Twitter, and, you know, I get that sort of separation from the team. So any time we can get someone on with your clout, that's just awesome, I think. Stoked to have you on here.
I'm, like I said, I'm always happy to be able to talk about Pels, and when we can talk to, you know, all around the world. I mean, it just shows you how much this, how much the game has grown and how much the interest is, not only in the NBA, but in the Pelicans. I mean, and obviously a lot changed about a year ago for this team when Zion was gifted to them. Things have changed, drastically in the last year for this team. And you've just kind of seen their profile really grow in the States and obviously around the world with what everything that Zion does.
Yeah, I mean, going into the offseason, Anthony Davis, there was the issues with him. He wanted out. There was these reports coming out that he was ready to go. Blockbuster trade vetoed almost at the trade deadline. There's all these reported ones. And then we hit the offseason, massive trade. We get three-quarters of the Lakers team comes down to New Orleans, and then we land number one draft pick. What was the feeling around the team throughout that period? You know, like, was it one of positivity that we've managed to, I suppose, avoid a massive slump and jump straight back in?
Yeah, so to kind of appreciate where they were on after the actual Anthony back to January 28th of 2019. That's when Anthony Davis made his trade request, and he made it public. And from that point on, it was a weird 3 or 4 months around the team, because you basically had guys who he wanted out. So they're still trying to win games. There was the part where he was only playing 25 minutes a night, and it was just like this dark cloud hanging over the franchise for months on end. It just didn't seem like there was an end in sight. And then even at the end of the year, he wears the That's All Folks shirt to the final home game, and it was like, come on, man, like, you know better than that. So they had already kind of made some changes. They already got rid of Dell Demps, the general manager. It was between Danny Ferry, David Griffin, and a couple other guys, Trajan Langdon, for who was going to be the next person in charge. And ultimately, they go with David Griffin to be the next executive vice president of basketball operations. So he's in charge on that side. And that first couple of weeks with Griff, you felt the positivity. You kind of felt the shift in what the franchise was doing. And there was a part where, you know, he was going to get upgrades and he was going to improve the staff. He was able to pull Aaron Nelson from Phoenix, one of the top trainers in the NBA. And slowly you were kind of starting to see what he wanted to do. And then the lottery night comes and he hits the number one pick. They jumped up from, I think, the 8th best odds to get Zion. And it was a crazy, crazy time. I remember the moment that Alvin Gentry busted out of the room and into the ballroom where we were and just grabbed David Griffin and just hugged him because they knew what it meant. And then about a couple of weeks after that, going into the draft, there was the Anthony Davis trade and what was going to happen with the AD trade. And, you know, and then you get Lonzo and you get Brandon Ingram and you get the fourth pick is now gone. It was just so much. So many moving pieces, and then you took that fourth pick and you moved back and you got the more pieces with Atlanta, and it was just so much really going on that I felt like, you know, they really kind of turned the corner quick. This wasn't going to be a rebuild. This is why heading into this season, before the Zion injury, they were really sitting about how they were going to compete in a playoff spot. And you know, you really felt it. And even though, like, even if the season is over, say we don't start the NBA season back up, it's still a successful year because you were in position to play competitive games in March and April. And that's what you really wanted to do. And as long as you're continuing to grow as a team, which you are, and set that foundation for Lonzo, B.I., and Zion to all grow together, I think you really set the foundation for what can be a very successful franchise, especially when you have somebody like David Griffin running the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And David Griffin has that, I suppose, reputation of being a pretty good operator. You know, he was with the LeBron Cavs for a while and what, like a championship out of that. You know, as a guy like that that leads from the top, from all reports, I think for a young team and a sort of team that's just sort of been, what was it, 7 new players or 9 new players or something joined the roster in the off season, to be able to get that to gel, but you see a full cleaning house sort of operation. But then, like you said, we hit March and April and they're playing some really, really good basketball, pushing for that 8th playoff spot. I don't think anyone heading into the season probably gave them that much of a ability to make that playoff spot. I didn't think anyone had that. I didn't. I thought we're going to sit there and we're going to see these Laker guys develop. I thought it was a very young side. And, yeah, they can grow together. But, again, you've got half a roster that's brand new. Who do you think were the big influences in that locker room coming in? You know, we added Favors, JJ Redick, as well as a few other high-quality veteran guys. Do they step straight into that role alongside Drew and lead the young guys?
Yeah, so JJ, it's kind of two things, on the court, off the court. Off the court, JJ Redick really stepped up. Drew has never been the vocal rah-rah type leader. He's always been the leads by example. He leads by what he does on the court. JJ, on the other hand, is the guy who steps up and will kind of get in your face and yell at you and kind of get on you a little bit about stuff. And I remember – you know, I think it was sometime during the 13-game losing streak, maybe toward the end, maybe it was like game 11 or 12 that they had just lost. And I remember JJ called the team meeting to kind of get the guys, you know, focused again. And he recently had his podcast, he had Lonzo Ball on, and they talked about the two of them really, like, that was kind of the one of the moments for the team where things started to turn around, because JJ was going to get on everybody and hold everybody accountable. On the other side of that, it was Derek Favors on the court, because Derek Favors, while he may not give the spacing that you think you need, they had the most improvement. And it was when, after Favors had come back from his early injuries and then his mom passing away, and he kind of took some time off, when he got back on the floor in December, that's when the team really started to kind of take off, shake off that 7-23 start, and then put themselves in contention for that eighth playoff spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've been doing I went right back to the start of the season, started watching all the games again, and it was very clear that you could see that JJ Lonzo bond a bit even early on. You know, there was bits where he's sort of directing traffic and he's saying, well, Lonzo, there was an out-of-bounds play, I think it was in the third game, and Lonzo's standing in one spot and JJ's just directing traffic and he's saying, well, look, this is how you're going to do it. And, you know, getting onto those young guys and teaching them, I mean, they'll look back and they'll say, well, I learned this from JJ Redick. You know, I don't think the wealth of knowledge is, as I suppose, celebrated as publicized. You know, that learning from the older guys, as well as being able to grow together as a team, we're looking at, I think it is, should be celebrated. And I think it's a credit to the older guys to be able to bestow that knowledge to the young guys.
JJ Redick is actually kind of funny because JJ Redick is kind of like everybody's bet right now. And like Nikhil Alexander Walker in particular, Nikhil Alexander Walker, like, follows JJ around like a puppy. Like, you know, JJ talks about this a lot. A lot of times he'll have guys ask, hey, can we, you know, can I come do off-season workouts with you? And then nobody will show up because he gets up so early. He's so regimented. He wants to do everything in particular. And Nikhil has basically been like just a sponge to JJ this year. So you'll see it on the court where, like, he's starting to have that relationship with you know, with a guy like Lonzo, and Lonzo is starting to rub off on Lonzo. Lonzo's another big reason why they've succeeded how they have. But in the same vein, like, I think you'll see it in the future with guys like Nikhil, who are learning the NBA work ethic from a guy like JJ Redick. And, you know, JJ wasn't that kind of guy early in his career in Orlando, and he kind of had to develop that late. So for people to kind of learn how he works now and how he's been able to have some of his better seasons later in his career, I think it's going to be great for some of those guys on that bench.
Absolutely. And we saw the development even throughout the season of Nikhil. I mean, even in the first games, you saw that aggression that he was happy to, you know, take a shot. There was some big threes that he hit and some hustle plays as well. If he takes another jump, this guy's going to be a pretty good player in this league.
Yeah, you go back to Nikhil's summer league, and he was excellent in summer league. And obviously Jackson Hayes was making all the plays, but Nikhil looked like a guy who was going to make some, you know, some headway onto this team. Now, the problem with him early on was, you know, he was almost too happy to take a lot of those shots. He was kind of putting up a lot of threes, a lot of ill-advised shots, but he learned. And you're on a team where, you know, you're obviously behind Lonzo and Drew. JJ Redick's got to get minutes. Josh Hart has to get minutes. Etuan Moore has to get minutes. Frank Jackson has to get minutes. So you were behind a lot of guys, but instead of moping and, you know, complaining, like, you're a first-round pick, you should be getting my time, he's in the gym, he's working. And I remember, you know, right before the end of the season, Nikhil had a hairline fracture in his wrist. Now, this happened when he was going to a G League game. He played a G League game with the Erie BayHawks, the Pels G League affiliate. And in the first game, he injures the wrist. But he wanted to play so much that you looked at it and you saw that he had this broken hand. He on his right hand. He played the second G League game and shot completely with his left hand. He put up bad numbers that game, and I remember seeing it, and I was like, oh, you know, I just tweeted out the numbers, like, okay, you know, he's got, you know, so-so numbers. And I remember someone tweeted at me, a source tweet or kind of texted me on the side. And he was like, "Hey, did you watch the game?" And I was like, "No, it was a G League game. I didn't really watch it. I kind of saw some highlights." He's like, "Go back and watch it." I was like, all right. And I go back and watch every shot he takes with his left hand. He was so driven to play basketball and get better that he was just like, "I'm going to take every shot with my left hand because I can't give up these 30 minutes of practice time." When you have a kid with a drive like that, he's going to make an impact for your team one way or another, whether it's now or in the future. He's going to pay off for you. And it's just, it kind of goes to show you that obviously it was hard to miss on that number one pick, right? It was hard to miss on Zion, but able to get Jackson and get Nikhil and get two more guys that are going to contribute shows that how much that, you know, that scouting department paid off.
This youth is so exciting, honestly. I mean, Jackson Hayes, you saw some real flashes of him this year. I know when Derek was he had his leave of absence for a bit. You know, Jackson Hayes stepped up, and you see this guy that, obviously, 20 years old, looks like he could be NBA ready maybe in another year or two, and he's a real, like could be a contributor pretty quickly.
Yeah, he's another one who, his raw talent is just kind of out of this world. I mean, he wasn't starting his junior year of high school. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be a lottery pick when he went to Texas. He was kind of more better and better. And I think it's his instincts that make him what he is. Obviously, you've seen how hard he can dunk. But I think it was the Houston game where he caught the – J.J. Redick put up a three late. It went off the rim wrong. And Jackson was able to crash in, and he just slams it down. And J.J.'s, like, looking back, like, oh, my God, like, where did he come from? And I think, those types of instincts you can't teach. And once he gets a little bit more weight on his body and can hold his own in the post, he's going to be really, really hard to stop. That's why I think you have a really good foundation with those three. And then let's not forget, Lonzo just turned 22. Brandon's 22. Josh is 23 or 24. Like, all these guys are young, man. Like, it's not like this team is very old. I mean, you know, Etuan feels like they call Etuan Uncle E. He's 29 or 30. Like, he's not that old. So the fact that all of this team is young, you have a lot of draft picks that you can trade or move or bring into the team. It just gives you a base for what this team can be going forward. And I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited if you're a New Orleans Pelicans fan.
Onto the wider league, we're in this hiatus at the moment. Yeah. Is there any rumblings of when, if there is going to be a return or what we can expect?
Yeah, actually, I want to say, as we're recording this, Woj just tweeted out, there was a Board of Governors call today with Adam Silver, and he says there's a positive momentum that the NBA will return this season. So they are starting to get momentum that way. There's a big call with the players coming up soon, and what you're going to see is I think is a push to finish this season in some way, shape, or form. It may not be what we expected. It may be this bubble city environment. Woj just kind of tweeted again. He's tweeting as this is happening. It's kind of odd, actually. They call it a campus environment, which would be basically a bubble city idea where they go to Orlando or they go to Las Vegas. Maybe the regular season gets finished. Maybe the playoffs are shortened. Maybe we just go to playoffs. I think all that is being figured out right now. But I think what you're ultimately going to see is they're going to finish in some way this year. That's obviously the goal, is to finish somehow and be able to declare a champion. And if that means taking this season and pushing it down the line to where season starts in December or January, so be it. But I think what you're going to see moving forward is they're going to attempt to finish this year out.
Well, it's good news for all the sports fans out there. I know we're all chomping at the bit for something to watch. I've seen a couple of rumblings that maybe there's the potential that it could be run like a summer league where they just play game after game and dominate TV just to finish the regular season. I think we were still 16 or so games per team ish left, I think, before we...
Yeah, it's like six, between, but anywhere between 15, 16, 17, 18, I think was where we're at. I mean, but if you're in a bubble city, like say if you're all in Orlando, you don't have to travel. You could play your games and get them done, and it wouldn't take as much time. You can kind of knock that out, get a couple of days for offer when you want it. But I do think you're going to see some sort of a finish like that.
Yeah, well, I'll have to take a couple of weeks off work just to lock in and just watch every game going through, because that is going to be primetime TV if that comes back.
Absolutely.
So before we let you go, do you have any key takeaways from this season and expectations going forward?
You know, I knew Zion was going to be good. I didn't know he was going to be this good this quick. Even when you look at he played 19 games. His first eight, he was under 20 points per game, still kind of struggling a little bit. He averaged 26 in his last 11 games on nearly 60% shooting. I mean, he was really dominant, and he was doing a lot of it from post-ups. He wasn't getting as much space. So for me, I think seeing him do what he's doing right now, he's got potential to be an MVP kind of guy. He's got potential to be the lead guy on a championship team. And there's only just, I think, so many of those players in the league and you've got one of them, which is going to make you a destination going forward for people who are going to want to come play with him if he continues to develop and if he stays healthy. It came to New Orleans this year in the first place was because he felt that they were going to be able to make a playoff push, and he was able to play a year with Zion and Drew Holiday. And to me, it's just I think it's a big sign to me that they are going to grow rather quickly. You look at Lonzo, he was doing the second half of the season, his shooting percent. I think from the time Zion came back, he was averaging 13 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, but shooting 42% from three, which is huge for Lonzo Ball. And obviously Brandon Ingram turned himself into an all-star. So if those three are your foundation pieces moving forward, you have a chance to build a championship caliber roster, I think, sooner rather than later in New Orleans.
Well, here's hoping. I am very excited to see how they proceed. You know, like, yeah, 100% agree. You've got the three. You've got a point guard. You've got a small forward. You've got a power forward who looks like to be an absolute beast. You keep those guys together. Then you've got Josh Hart off the bench, who is heart and soul of the team. I've said that a couple of times on here. It's my favorite pun. But he absolutely he does those things that don't show up on the stat sheet. I'd like to thank you for your time, for sitting in with us and providing all of your insights. Andrew, it's been really great fun, and I'm glad we could chat.
Hey, man, I'm glad we could do it too. Anytime you need me, I'm here for you.
Thanks very much. Now, we're not going to go into the history today. We might save that for a later podcast. And we've got some things in the works coming up. We've got lots and lots and lots and lots of guests coming up in the coming episodes. I've had a chat with a few different guys, and no doubt they'll give us some different insights throughout the journey going forward. So, for now, I'm going to leave you with this. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Pelican Scoop. I'm Lyle Swithenbank, and have a wonderful week.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.